How often the believer thinks about heaven. We talk about it and we sing about it. We sing lovely hymns about heaven. Hymns like Beautiful Valley of Eden, Home of the Pure and the Blessed. How often amid the wild billows I dream of thy rest, sweet rest. Or that hymn by James Montgomery, Forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be, or shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod. We often sing about heaven, and we have it before us in our lovely songs of Zion. Not only sing about heaven, we often read about it in God's Word, and read about it even as we have done tonight from these portions of Scripture, and we read about it until we say with the hymn writer, "Oh, what must it be to be there?" I want tonight just to consider, albeit for a little time, something of what heaven is and that which God has revealed to us. I'm conscious tonight of the fact that even though we would spend a little time on it, we are only scratching the surface of what the Lord has revealed to us about heaven. And even then, though our knowledge should be much, much deeper than it is, even at that stage, we have to confess that there is so much that God has held back from us. We read that eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Nevertheless, I want tonight just to look at the things that we can know and that we can understand, and look at these things that the Lord might have them to be a blessing even to our souls. We were singing there in that hymn of heaven as being the land of the blessed. And so it is, people. It is the land of the blessed. When we look here at this little verse from Matthew in the chapter 25, we can see here that invitation, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Come ye blessed of my Father. Heaven is the land of the blessed. And of course we know that that word blessed means happy. And so we can consider tonight heaven as the place of happiness, or the happiness of heaven. I want just to look at a few thoughts that we have tonight with regard to the happiness of heaven. The happiness of heaven, I believe, is found in the thought or the point of the attractiveness of the place. When we think of heaven and the place of heaven, then we think of the beauty of heaven, the majesty of heaven, the glory of heaven. It is called in the Bible by the name of paradise, and oftentimes it is referred to as paradise. We read there in 2 Corinthians 12, we remember Paul was taken up into the third heaven, and there in that verse he talks about it as being paradise. And when we go into the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation the chapter 2 and the verse 7 there, it is called the paradise of God. Heaven is paradise. The word paradise, it means park or garden ground. It is from the Greek, which is literally royal park or the king's park. And of course, it's not very difficult to see the spiritual application. Heaven is the parkland of God. It is the garden ground, if you like, of the one who is the King of Kings. When we think about a park here, and we may in the summertime especially visit around the parks. I like going to the different parks in the country. I like to go to Tullymore Park, for example, and there to see the trees and to look at the river and to hear the sounds and to see the lovely attractiveness of the park. And we can see the application even by way of paradise. We were reading there about paradise with the tree of life growing in all of its splendor. Here is Eden restored with all of the trees of the garden. And of course, flowing through the garden is the pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal as it is described there in the opening verse of Revelation 22. So when we think of heaven as paradise, then there is the picture of beauty and calmness that God has given to us to impart to us an understanding of what heaven is like. Heaven, it is a place of beauty to the eye. It is a place of quietness and attractiveness even to the mind. It is the parkland of God. Then, of course, we read in heaven of the many mansions. And there we have the many mansions in the Father's house. In John 14, in those opening verses, the Lord tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." The Father's house is heaven, the place of many mansions. And again, this term mansion imparts to us the thought of splendor and the thought of glory. The modern translations tell us that heaven is a place of many rooms. And I don't like that. I don't like the idea of rooms at all. Doesn't imply what God means. There's a vast difference between a room and a mansion. If I go to Dundee sometimes to preach, and if I'm there for a day or two, I'll stay in a B&B and I get a room. And it's very good. It's very basic. It's what's required for a night or two. But I wouldn't want to live there for forever. But when I think of a mansion, and sometimes when we go around the country and we go to various sites, we can see the great mansion. Sometimes you can pay and go into these mansions, and they're places of great splendor. And the Lord is teaching us that heaven and our dwelling place in heaven, it is home. It is the Father's house. It is where the Father is. And it is a place of splendor. It is a place of many mansions. And when we think of heaven, of course, we remember that there the street is paved with purest gold, as we read over there in the Revelation 21. And there we find that within the jasper walls, we have this street of finest, purest gold. And the foundations of the walls, we are told, are garnished with all manner of precious stones. So that we can get the picture that God is painting to our minds. The Lord wants us to see tonight something of the beauty and the glory and the splendor of heaven. And there on those golden streets and in the parkland of heaven, they save, walk, and they talk. And they talk and walk in the light of the glory of God. People, that's the place called heaven. It's a happy place. It's a happy place. But then, of course, we would see the happiness of heaven not only in the place and the beauty and the splendor and the glory of the surroundings of heaven, but it is also in the agreeableness of the company that is found in heaven. We were reading there in the chapter 21 of the Revelation, and the first 24 talks about the nations of the saved. Or we might talk about the saved of every nation is there. And as they're gathered there as a family. Every one who is redeemed and goes to heaven is regarded as a family. We read in Ephesians 3 and the first 15 of the family in heaven. That's the company of heaven. Everyone gathered in is in the family of God. And in heaven it is a united family. The family of God, the church of the redeemed, are all united in heaven. There are no quarrels there. There are no difference of opinions there. Oh, how blessed it is. How blessed is the communion and the fellowship of God's people here on earth. As we travel on to heaven, that's a blessed thing. It's always a joy to meet with the people of God, even to be driving through a town perhaps and you see someone walking along the footpath and you know that they're saved. You recognize them and you think to yourself, that's a child of God, they're saved. And there's a sense of fellowship even in that here, in this scene of time here on earth as we travel to heaven. And yet, Here that fellowship can be tainted by our natural or sinful imperfections. But oh, in glory, all of that is gone. And there we shall shine, as we're told in Daniel 12:3, as the brightness of the firmament. The company of heaven, every child of God redeemed in glory, as those who are in perfect fellowship and in harmony one with the other, the family in heaven. And of course, there in heaven, we have all of the redeemed from every age. All of the Old Testament prophets will be there. The Old Testament saints will be walking in glory, and they're walking with the New Testament apostles, with the redeemed of all ages, right from Adam and Eve till the last believer to be called home. And what a joy it will be, what company there will be in heaven. And there we shall sit down. We're told in Matthew 8:11, we shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. We think of the company of heaven and of all of the men and the women that we read of in the Bible who have been redeemed right from the early ages, right through as we read into the Old Testament and into the New Testament. And we'll see the likes of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and we'll have company with them. And oh, we'll have company of all of our loved ones who have gone before in Christ. What makes heaven to be a happy place? Well, certainly the surroundings are beautiful and attractive and glorious. But oh, the company of heaven, of all of the redeemed, of the saved of every age, all of the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, all together in the glory land. And the holy angels are there. And they're there as our companions. And we shall join our voices with them around the throne in our praises to God and to the Lamb, as we're told there in Revelation, the chapter 5. How glorious the sound of the song of heaven. How happy were the shepherds who heard the song of that heavenly host in the night of the Savior's birth. Can we imagine the singing of heaven? Can we imagine what it's going to be like when all of God's perfected people, all of the redeemed, are joined one with the other in singing the song of the redeemed. And even the angels joining in to sing their praise unto him who is the Lamb of God. The sweetness of the harmony of heaven. I love to hear choirs singing. I have a great love for male voice choirs and to listen to the various parts as they sing together in harmony. And I love the sound and I love the volume. There is something that brings it to the heart. But oh, can we imagine what it will be like to hear the singing of heaven, the company. And then, of course, people, Jesus is there. And this is the height of our happiness. It is being with Christ in paradise. Remember the penitent thief on the cross. And he said there, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord responded and said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, if the Lord had said to him, today thou shalt be in paradise, that would have been lovely. To be in the place of splendor, to open his eyes and see the beauty of heaven, to see the mansions prepared for the redeemed, to be among the company of the redeemed, to join together with those who love the Lord, to be in the company of the sinless angels. Wouldn't that be lovely? But there'd be something missing if Jesus wasn't there. It is Christ himself who is the very pinnacle of the happiness of heaven. The Lord said to him, today thou shalt be with me. Today thou shalt be with me in heaven. Remember Paul also, when he was speaking about heaven, he talked about being with Christ, which is far better. Dear men and women, young people, the Lord Jesus Christ is there for us. Remember when Stephen died over there in the Acts of chapter 7. The first thing, or the first face that he saw was the lovely face of Jesus. We remember how he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." The first face that he saw was the Lord Jesus Christ. What a welcome that was. What a welcome that was. And people, so the text that we have here gives the very same picture. For the Lord says, "Come ye blessed of the Father into the kingdom prepared for you." It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is speaking here. And when a man or woman in Christ, when a young person, when those that are saved, passes away from this scene of time, and they breathe their last breath here in this old world, they close their eyes in death and open their eyes in glory, the first face they see is the face of Jesus, face to face with the one who loved them and died to save them. Dear people, this is the happiness of heaven. It's found in the splendor of the place. It's found in the company that we are in glory. But then the happiness of heaven also involves the absence of evil. And this is our safety. And this is our happiness. We read that the gates never close in heaven. That's the picture the Lord is painting for us so that we can understand the safety of heaven. There's no need for the gates to be closed. Why? Because nothing that defileth enters therein. Nothing that defileth can enter into heaven. When we live in this world, and perhaps we live in a dangerous area or a place that's known for trouble and for stealing and for looting and so on, well then, the natural thing is to close the gate or to close the door so that we can do our best to keep evil out. But oh, there's no need for anything like that in glory, for nothing that defileth can enter in. There's no sin there. In Revelation 22, the third verse, there is no more curse. No more curse. When we get to heaven, there's no more curse, there's no more sin. And you know, the devil is not there. And this old world, he tempts us. And this old world, he comes to deceive us. But the devil will not be in heaven, because we're told in Revelation 20 and 10, he's cast into hell. And of course, there'll be no thieves in heaven to break in and to take what is precious to us. Over there in Luke 12 and the verse 33, the thieves will not be there. If we look into even the chapter 21 and the verse 8 of the Revelation, there's a list given of people who will not be in heaven, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These will not be in heaven. There's nothing in heaven that will harm us, nothing in heaven to hurt us. There is no evil to be found in heaven. And there's a lot of other things that are absent, things that distress us here in this life, things that we be anxious about, things that cause us to have discontent and to have anxieties. Those things will be absent in heaven. There'll be no more crying, the Bible says. There are no more tears. There's many a tear shed in this old world. And there'll be no more death. No more separation, no more mourning. Just during the week, a dear lady belonging to the Portland Owen congregation passed away. And it's a time of awful sadness. In our sickness before that, many a tear was shed, many a distress, many an anxiety, because the family looked in the one that they loved and they had anxiety and distress. Because of her illness, many a tear was shed then when she passed away last Wednesday, went to be with the Lord, and our dear sister left this field of tears, never to have tears again. But the family knew the tears. The family knew what it was to have heartbreak and to be separated from the one that they love. There's no more death in heaven. There's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. We read the former things have passed away. The happiness of heaven. And there's an absence of time. For we read in Revelation 10 and 6 that time shall be no more. What a wonderful thing. Time will be swallowed up in eternity. There will be no watches and no clocks in heaven. I seldom take my watch off. I like to know what time it is. When I'm going somewhere, I'd be very particular about the time. And even during the night, I keep my watch on. Just when I waken up to know what time it is. I have a wee watch here and you press the hand or the button on it and it lights up so that in the middle of the night I waken up and I can know what time it is. But I not need a watch in heaven. Be an eternity. No watches, no clocks, because time will be swallowed up in eternity. My friend, this will be eternity. This is eternal life. This is eternal life without end. This is the believer's inheritance. 1 Peter 1 and the first 4. It is that which is reserved for us in heaven. It is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. Paul told us that it will be forever with the Lord. Dear men and women, isn't it a joyful thing to think about the happiness in heaven? To think about the place that we're going to. We'll open up our eyes in the glory land, the splendor of the Father's house. And then we'll see the company. We'll meet with the redeemed from every age and from every nation. We'll meet there with those who have passed on in Christ that we have known in this scene of time. And during my years in Port Lanoan, we had to say farewell for a time to those that we had come to love and come to serve the Lord with. And the parting was painful, and ministers are not exempt from the pain of parting when it comes to members of the congregation passing away. Those that they have been in the place of prayer with, those that they have known the support of, and those that they have prayed for and supported through the time of the ministry. And then it comes to the time when they must part with them, and it's difficult. But we'll meet them again. Many a time I've said, we'll meet in glory. And our dear sister that went to be with the Lord in the week gone by, when we were speaking with her and reading with her, we were talking about heaven, about the splendor of heaven, and about who we would meet with, and how she would meet with her loved ones again that had passed on in Christ, and what a meeting that will be. And I said, it won't be that long until we all meet together again. And you'll meet with your husband again. He'll follow after you because he's one of the redeemed. And we were talking about the company and the pleasure and the joy of heaven. And as she lay in her bed, she whispered, well, that will be nice. That will be nice. So it will, people. It'll be lovely when we get to the glory land. It's the place of happiness. And then could I just say a word about the activities of the inhabitants of heaven. Revelation 22 and the third verse there, we read that we shall serve him. We shall serve the Lord in heaven. Do you know the greatest privilege that anyone could have in this life is to serve God. That's the greatest privilege that anyone could have in this life. Many a time I think to myself, even if there was no such place as heaven, there is, of course, but even if there was no such place as heaven, and if God didn't tell us anything about it, as he has done here. If there was no such place as heaven, I would still want to serve the Lord. There's no joy like serving the Lord. There's no satisfaction. There's no privilege in all of the world like serving the Lord. Dear, if you're not saved tonight, maybe there's someone and you're not saved tonight, I want to tell you, there's nothing like being saved and serving the Lord. The greatest privilege in this life is to serve the Lord, and in heaven we shall serve Him. I want to tell you, we won't be too tired to serve Him there. You know what it's like here? We get tired, the body gets tired, and we would love to be doing things for the Lord, and it gets to the stage where we can't do what once we could do. When I can't do today what I could do 20 years ago, the body wouldn't let me do that. 20 years ago, I loved to do gospel missions around the country and in Orange Halls, and I loved to serve the Lord in that way. But I found that over the years and right up to recent days, the body got too tired, and those things became difficult to be doing and to expend the energy in them. So that in this life, it gets to the stage where we're often too tired to serve the Lord, but we won't be too tired in heaven. We'll have the fullness of energy and strength to serve the Lord in heaven, and there'll be no hindrances to serving the Lord there. Many a thing will hinder us here. Some legitimate things hinder us from serving the Lord, things that we'd like to do. Minister will announce maybe outreach work, or he will announce some special thing taking place in the church, and why we would love to be at everything that is announced, and we should make every effort to be at everything that is announced that we can help with. But there comes along hindrances. Sometimes they're legitimate, but you know, there'll be nothing to hinder us in heaven from serving the Lord. And there we will serve Him with a whole heart. And there we will serve Him without any alloy of sin or self. And how will we serve Him? Well, we will serve Him by praising Him. This word, to serve the Lord, is also translated in the New Testament by the word worship, to worship. Over there in Acts 24 and 14, the very same word, to worship the Lord, is to serve the Lord. We see the saints in glory worshiping Him, that service. We see them singing His praise. My friend, that is service. Oh, what happy service there is in glory. When together with all of the redeemed, we worship Him without hindrance. Sing His praises, the praise of the Lamb who has loved us, who has redeemed us by precious blood. That will be our service and glory, and what happy service that will be. Heaven is the place of absolute joy and absolute happiness. Read in the psalm, in thy presence is fullness of joy. What a prospect for the believer. What a reality for those already who have gone on before. But people, the question tonight, even in conclusion, surely must be, will you be in heaven? Will you be in heaven? Not everyone will be in heaven. Only the redeemed are there. The Lord was speaking about heaven as the Father's house. He would encourage the disciples. He was going away from them. He would encourage them, and He would say to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. He went on to talk about the Father's house as the place of mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where you are, there, at where I am, there ye shall be also. Then He said, in the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus simply said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man, no woman, no young person. Doesn't matter about their background. Doesn't matter about the privileges they've had in life. Doesn't matter about their money. Doesn't matter about their education, whether a good education or a poor education. Doesn't matter about anything. Only if they have Christ as Savior. No man, Jesus says, cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, he says. I wonder, men, women here tonight, are you found in the way to heaven? Are you found in Christ? Can you look forward to heaven as a place of happiness? Can you look forward to heaven as the place of the company of the blessed? Can you look forward to heaven tonight, even as a place where you will go to, place of no danger, of no evil, place when you will praise the Lord for all eternity? Only if you are found in Christ. The way to heaven for a sinner is to acknowledge his sin before God, turning away from his sin and turning away from self and looking to the Lord alone and asking the Lord to save him, to cleanse him from his sin, to make him ready for heaven. If you will come that way, then there's a place in glory for you. The alternative is, if you'll not be in heaven, then you will be in the place of the doomed and of the damned. You will be in that place that we were reading off there in the chapter 21, the first 8, where the fearful and unbelieving and that list are found. It is the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Dear unsaved, come to Christ tonight. He has prepared the way. He has prepared the way by paying the price and the penalty of the sinner's sin. And every man and woman and young person who will acknowledge their sin and trust Christ alone for salvation will enter into the glory land. Will you come to Christ? Oh, that you might come to him tonight, be saved, and know the joy of the Lord and the prospect of glory lying before you. We'll have a wee word of prayer, and we look to the Lord before we close with a few verses of a hymn. Our God and our Father, we pray that thou would have thy word to be applied to every heart, that it might be a word of encouragement for the redeemed, those that are saved by the precious blood of Christ. It might be a word of warming of hearts, and even the backslider being restored again to fellowship with thee. No, Lord, we pray that thou would apply thy word to any who would be unsaved, that they might have a desire wrought within them to come to the Savior and find life eternal. Bless us now, Lord, we pray thee, in the singing of the hymn, for we ask it in Jesus' name.